Bible, turn to John chapter 17 tonight. John chapter 17. There were many requests, several requests for my notes from the sermon that I preached on Sunday all day on the stronghold of alcohol. Our ladies made several copies of those, and they are available out on the Welcome Center. If we happen to run out of those and you did not get one, just let us know. We can run more, and we can make those available on Sunday. But my notes are out on the Welcome Center tonight, okay? Also, you can get it if you'd like to have it as a CD to send it to other people. By all means, you take advantage of that, okay? This is John chapter 17. I believe this is part number 7. I'm not positive about that, but we've been here for a while, and we're coming, God willing, to the end of this chapter. We're asking God to speak to our hearts, asking the Lord to do a mighty work in our lives. And John chapter number 17. Look at verse number 20. The Lord Jesus is praying in John chapter 17 and verse number 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I've been preaching for several services now on what I've entitled the Lord's Prayer here in John chapter 17, and we'll pick up our study here in just a moment. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you for speaking to our hearts, and I pray tonight that you'll challenge us from the Word of God. May we go forth in power. May we obey you. And I pray if there's one here that's come to church but never come to Christ, may tonight be the glorious night of salvation. And we who are saved, would you challenge us from the Word of God and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord was a master of prayer. There's no doubt about that. And this is what we call the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17. When we study through this chapter together, we see it's broken down into three major sections. Section number 1 is when the Lord was praying concerning himself. Section number 2 is when he was praying concerning the disciples that were right there with him as he was speaking. And then section number 3 I read for you is verses 20 through verse 26. He's preaching for New Testament believers, those who would believe the words of the disciples that were there. And may I say this to you, if you've been saved tonight, if you're on your way to heaven, he's praying for you and he's praying for me in verses 20 all the way down through verse number 26. Now, we've already started this here. Let me just go back and tap it on the head. We hear several things. As a matter of fact, there's 4 major things I hear that he prays for us tonight if we're saved. The first one I gave last Wednesday night, when we notice, number 1, a petition for unity. We saw that in verses 21, verse 22, and verse 23. You can go back and get what I preached from last Wednesday night. I took the whole service then and dealt with how it's God's will for God's people to be unified as one. Now we pick up our study with the second major thing that we hear him pray, that we hear him say, when he's praying for you if you're saved and for me since I'm saved here tonight. The second thing we hear in this prayer is found in verse number 23. Not only do we hear a petition for unity, but number 2, we hear a proclamation of the Father's love. Now I want you to notice this phrase in verse number 23. Notice what he says. He says, I in them and thou in me. Now he's talking about you and me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and I notice this proclamation, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, friends, how in the world do you explain that? Honestly, I must say that this statement is beyond our comprehension. Because what an amazing proclamation the Lord Jesus Christ makes right here concerning God's children. You may tell you how much the Heavenly Father loves you if you're saved, as much as He loves Jesus Christ. Now, friends, let that sink in just a minute. You think I can explain that? If you do, I'm sorry, I can't. The fact of the matter is, this is an amazing thought. That the Lord said that the world may know that you love them as you have loved me. Now, friends, may I say this to you? Wednesday night should be a time, many times, of encouragement. Sometimes you come in on Wednesday night, you're beat down, you've been working hard, you're tired, you're exhausted, you're ready to go to bed, all these kind of things, and you come in discouraged and disheartened. No doubt in a crowd this size, somebody's discouraged. But if you're saved tonight, that ought to encourage your heart. That the Heavenly Father above loves you as much as He loves the Son of God. Now, I found a poem. It goes like this. So near, so very near to God, nearer I could not be. For in the person of His Son, I am as near as He. So dear, so very dear to God, dearer I could not be. The love wherewith He loved His Son, such is His love to me. Dear child of God, if you're saved tonight, if you're born again, if you've trusted completely in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the next time you feel that you're little worth, and the next time the devil tries to think that you're not worth anything, that you're just nothing, you're garbage, you're trash, you're worth nothing, the next time somebody may look at you and say you're good for nothing, I hope this verse and this phrase comes back to your mind, that the Lord Jesus Christ begs to differ. He says, my Father loves me. He loves me. His Father, the Lord Jesus Christ's Father, loves me as much as He loves Him. Now, friends, I know you're tired. I know. But that ought to stir you a little bit right there. That ought to stir your heart a little bit. That ought to cause us to get on our face and say, thank you, Jesus. That ought to cause us to get on our face and say, amazing grace. How sweet the sound has saved a wretch like me. We hear a proclamation of the Father's love for His children. Number three, we hear a passion for believers to see His glory. Look at verse number 24 and notice this verse. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You notice I say a passion for believers to see His glory. Who has a passion for believers to see His glory? The Lord Jesus Christ does. Now stay with me here, okay? The Lord told His Father right here, He said, I will that this takes place. He tells His Father that it is His will. When you look at His will, it means His desire. It's where I get His passion. He desires this. He's passionate about this. He wants this immensely. He says it's His desire, His passion, that believers ultimately be with Him where He is. Get this, direct quote, that they may behold His glory. Now the word behold here, He said, I want them to be with me where I am. My passion, my desire is that they be with me where I am. And He said, so they may behold my glory. You know what that word behold means? It means to be a spectator. It means to consider and to look upon it. You know, one man said he wanted them all to see the glory of his deity. The glory that was His long before time began, He longed for these, for us. He longs for those who trust Him and love Him and trust in Him, however imperfectly. He wants them to see Him for who He truly, really is. Now stay with me here. This ought to bless your heart. Because these disciples that are there, they did not see Him in His glory. Not in all of His glory. They saw Him in a human body that got tired like theirs get tired, that wears out like theirs, like theirs wore out. They did not see Him as He is right now, you understand. They did not see Him in all of His glory and all of His deity. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He knows who He is. And He knows what He really looks like. He knows the glory that He has in heaven. And He's longing for God's children to come home so we see who He really is. Now, friends, could it be that the Lord is laying this out for us just to give us a little taste, a little hunger, a little desire to go home, because He knows when we see Him, we'll realize it really was worth it all. Now, friends, I know it gets hard on planet Earth. I know there are trials and troubles and tribulations. I know it gets difficult. But listen to His words. Father, I will that they be with me where I am, that they will behold my glory. Someday we're going to see Jesus. Someday we're going to see Him in all of His glory. Because when we get there, we'll be like Him, the Bible says, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about you, but sometimes I try to think what the Lord must look like. Sometimes I try to think about heaven and what heaven must look like. Sometimes I try to think about the street of gold, and I try to think about the walls of jasper and gates of pearl. Sometimes I try to think in my own mind, someday I'm going to see God. Someday I'm going to look, the Bible says, upon the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His glory. And I don't know about you, but my mind only goes so far and it drops. There's a reason for that. Because we are finite human beings, we are not eternal. And it's not entered the heart of man what He has laid up in store for them that love Him. Only God knows what we're going to see. And may I say this to you? If you're saved tonight, you will see Him in all of His glory. Let me explain this. One man put it well here. The word will, I will, that word will there. There are two Greek words from which the word will is translated from. The first one is the word thelo, T-H-E-L-O, basically. It means to purpose it. In other words, that translated word is used for the will of God that is unalterable. It's firmly fixed. It is the will of God, and no matter what you do, it will take place. Are you with me? That's the will of God. That's one word for the word will. That God has willed it, He has purposed it, and it makes no difference what you do or what I do, God is going to make it happen. You with me? Or there's the other word, which is the word boulomai. They're both translated will, like it's not God's will. You understand? Here, I will, okay? That word will, translated boulomai, means a wish or a desire for something to take place, even though it may not take place. Let me explain. This word is used of God's desire. He desires it. It's His will. But it may or may not come to pass depending on the actions of others. Let me explain. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, He's not willing that any should perish, right? That's the word boulomai. It's His desire, it's His wish, but it's dependent upon the human actions. They must repent and receive Him. You understand? Guess what the word is here in John chapter 17? It's not bulamai. It's thalo. You know what it means? It means this. Jesus is not saying, Father, I wish this to take place. I hope they make it. That's not the word. The word is, this is my will. It is fixed. It will take place. No matter what happens, they will see me in all my glory. That ought to, listen friends, that ought to cause your insides to go whoopee just a little bit right there. It means it is already set. You are going to see Jesus if you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, the bottom line here, you're going home, rest in it. Why make yourself miserable? Well, I hope I make it. Boy, I hope I can hang on to the end. I just hope I can make it to the end. Listen, people like that abuse the grace of God. I've already preached on eternal security, 5 sermons on it. You can go back and get it. But this is another thought right here that shows us that we who are saved are safe and secure in Jesus Christ. It is his prayer request. He said, I will. This is my will. Nothing will alter it. Nothing will change it. They will see me in all my glory. 1 John 3:2 says, "Behold, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Who are the pure in heart? Saved people. Born again people. Jesus said this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Glory, glory right there, friend. Honestly. If you're saved, you are going to see Jesus someday. Now, friends, if that doesn't encourage you, your encourager's broken or something. Honestly, honestly. By the way, aren't you getting a little homesick? I mean, isn't something inside you just saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I want to see you. I want to come home. I've not been an active military or anything like that where these military folks have gone overseas like Marty and John Rourke and others of you that have gone overseas. But I can guarantee you, because just going overseas for 2 weeks or 10 days for a mission trip, I cannot wait to get home. I can't wait to get to my family. I can't imagine folks that go away for 18 months fighting for our country. God bless them. I can't imagine that. And friends, let me say something to you. For every child of God, there ought to be a longing in our heart for home. I'm ready to go. By the way, the reason, this goes back to the Gospel of John, which what we've been studying together. Why is he not taking us home? Why does he not just save you and take you home? Save you and get you out of here. Save you and get you home. It's because he has a work for us to do. He wants us to win people to Christ, get the gospel to as many people as possible. But even in that work, which is a great work because we're doing it for the Lord, not for us, not even for the church. We're doing it out of obedience to the Lord. By the way, let me go ahead and say this to you. It's not my job to build this church. It's not your job to build this church. That's God's job to build this church. God's been working in my heart so much lately about Jody. Stop worrying about building the church. You just find what I want you to do as a church family, and you obey me, and you let me build my church. See, we just need to make sure that we're obeying the Lord. Now, if we're obeying the Lord and God's going to build his church, does that mean we sit back on our couch and do nothing? No. If we're obeying the Lord, we're knocking on doors. We're praying. We're seeking God. We're actively pursuing people, but then we trust God for who he brings in. We don't try to get everybody in this church. We let God bring them in. All I'm saying to you tonight is that there's a great work to be done. But at the end of the way, at the end of it all, when everything's said and done, you're going to see Jesus. That ought to be enough to encourage you, friends, to keep going. Don't stop. Don't quit. Because it's His will that you see Him in all of His glory. This is His passion for believers, His desire, His will. Then, a final thing we hear is found in verses 25 and 26. And that is what I call a privilege for believers. A privilege for believers. Look what he says here. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. Notice this now. And these have known thee that thou hast sent me. Is it not a privilege to know God the Father? Read on in verse 26. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. I call this, as he closes his prayer here, I call this the privilege for believers. The Lord brings out how he had declared his Father's name unto the disciples, and that he would declare the Father's name to the disciples. Now, this is a privilege for God's children. Now, get this now. To have the Son of God to declare the Heavenly Father's name unto them. Now get this. One man put it well. He said he, Jesus, had revealed himself in Old Testament times, talking about the Father here, he, God, had revealed himself in Old Testament times by means of his primary name, like Elohim, Jehovah, Adonai. That was the names that he was known for throughout the Old Testament. And by galaxy of what we call composite names, like Jehovah Jireh or Jehovah Nissi. He was known by those names, Jehovah Shalom, El Elyon, El Shaddai, and so on. That's Old Testament. I mean, God was revealing his Old Testament names. But when Jesus came, when the Son of God came, he brought to earth what I would call the greatest of all the names of God. He declared his name as Father. Jesus had revealed that El Elyon, El Shaddai, Adonai, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, you name it, that same God wants to be their Father because of what he had come to do for them. I don't know what else to say other than what a privilege. What a privilege for a human being like me to be able to get on my knees and lift my eyes toward heaven and say, Heavenly Father, I'm coming to you now. That is only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he's less than 24 hours from his death. When we're reading this prayer, he's praying it less than 24 hours, he'll be hanging on a cross. What a fitting way to end his prayer. He goes on to say something else. He said, and I've declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. Notice this now, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. What is he saying here? It's beautiful studying through books of the Bible. He said the love that the Father has for him, that same love may be in them and him in them. The thought seems to be that the love the Father has for the Son would also be in them because the Son would be in them in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Here's the point. We see a privilege, another privilege, not only to call the Father our Father, but the privilege to have the Son of God in us. And therefore we can have the Father's love for the Son in us. Can I paraphrase it this way? If you're saved tonight, don't you love Jesus? Amen. You love Jesus. Let me tell you why. Because you and Jesus and the Father have been made one. And because the Father loves Jesus, and Jesus is in you, He loves you as much as Jesus. And you love Jesus because the Father's loving Him through you. A privilege? Yes? This is how He ends His prayer. Now let me conclude it. As we come to the close of this amazing chapter, it's been a long journey of the Lord's Prayer before His death, the night before His death. I want to see one more thought here. Notice in verse number 13 what He says. He says, "These things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Now, did we read that right? I mean, this is the night before His death. He knows all things, beginning from end, everything in between. He knows everything they're going to do to Him. He knows all the pain He's going to feel. He knows it all. And He said, "I'm speaking all these things that my joy, that's what He said, that my joy would be fulfilled in them." This statement is amazing when you consider the Lord and these disciples were getting ready to face such grueling things. But even though the Lord was facing death and the disciples' world was getting ready to turn upside down, the Lord had shared these things with them so that His joy would not be disturbed in them. Get this. Let this speak to you. The Lord was filled with joy staring at Calvary. And He wanted His disciples, whose world was getting ready to be turned upside down on them, He wanted His disciples to know that no matter what life throws at you, you may not be happy, but you can still rejoice and you can still have joy. One man put it this way, he prays for his people to experience his joy, not just happiness, which is dependent upon circumstances, but joy that's rooted in the Lord and the work of the Spirit of God in our hearts. See, the world's all about happiness. Just watch TV. You'll be happy if you drive a certain kind of car, if you have this product, or you try this cosmetic, but Jesus promises His people joy. Joy that lets you be content when your world is turned upside down. Joy that lets you praise the Lord. I'm quoting here, for the passing of a saved loved one. Joy that lets you stare adversity in the face with peace. Joy has nothing to do with happiness, but joy has everything to do with contentment. And contentment is priceless. The point is, the Lord's Prayer can bring you joy in the midst of sorrow. It tells us once again that we're on the winning side. Like what one man said, he said, "A miserable Christian is therefore a self-contradiction." Did you hear that statement? A miserable Christian is a self-contradiction. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Rejoice evermore." You may be wondering, how can you be joyful in this life? How can you be joyful? You can when you go back and read the Lord's Prayer and see, because of what He did, this is now available to you and to me. See, He knew that because He was getting ready to die, the death that He was getting ready to die, He knew the outcome. That even though the devil thought He was going to destroy the Son of God, the Lord knew that the devil would only bite His heel. but he would crush his head. And because the serpent's head has been crushed, and because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there is victory, and there is peace, and there is joy, no matter what life throws at you. So I ask, how's your joy tonight? I'm not asking, are you smiling? I'm not asking, are you happy? I'm not asking, are you gooey all over? I'm not asking if life is on a mountaintop. I'm not asking any of that. I'm asking this, whether your life is on the mountaintop or in the valley or even lower, are you rejoicing in Jesus Christ? Because everything he says here, he said, these things have I said unto them, that my joy might be fulfilled in them. Wouldn't you agree that the world needs to see some more joyful Christians? Yes. Then meditate on what he says and ask God to help you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, would you help us tonight to be faithful to you? Bless as we prepare for our prayer time together. May thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I wonder tonight, are you rejoicing in Jesus Christ? Have you tonight say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. I'm born again. But there's something going on in my life that I really need to just rejoice in the Lord. Have you have something like that going on? Would you raise your hand? You have something like that going on? Yes. Then listen to the words of Jesus Christ and how it's his will that you be with him where he is, that you'll behold his glory. It's not always going to be this way. Hey, the best is yet to come. As Brother Gary begins to sing, would you come? Would you ask God to help you? Would you give God an opportunity to speak to your heart? I'm just going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. And if you want to come, would you come now, please? Father, take this thought and use it. And bless, I pray. And may your will be done in our lives. Would you challenge us from your word? In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're playing through. Gary's going to sing. If you need to come, you come now. Would you do it? There's joy in Jesus no matter what. It's not always going to be like this. You're going to see the Lord someday. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to come. He's going to share our missionary letters with us, and then we'll give some instructions for our prayer meeting, okay?
I want to open up your prayer list there. You can write down some prayer requests for these missionaries. The Martinez family is working in South Florida and Cuba, and they went to Cuba in December, and he got the dengue fever, and so he has been pretty sick, but on the mend. Their great needs right now, they have a public school ministry their son Caleb is working with, and they're seeing some young folks saved, and then they'll be going back to Cuba this summer on another trip. And then they are really struggling financially. It's very expensive to live in Miami and that area. And so let's pray for them about those three specific needs. The Bush family, they are working with Vision Baptist Missions. And they are trying to help get new missionaries on the field. And they are praying for 50 young people to surrender to missions in this year of 2016. And then they're also asking prayer for a Bible college in Argentina. Has 41 students, and God is really blessing there. The final one are the Rays working in China, and it's an amazing thing. They had a Christmas party, kind of shows the date of the letter, but they had 350 people attend. Over half of them were not church members, and they got to give them the gospel. They are trying to plant a new church. It is spelled X-I-A-N, so your guess is as good as mine. And Pastor X-U is going there. Okay, so there you go. I guess if it's Chinese, you got an X in it. But be praying about that. Beth has finally finished language school. Took her 2.5 years to learn the Chinese language, if you can imagine. Brother Ray was raised in China, so he already knows the language. But he asked us to pray that the Christians there will be burdened to reach their own people there in China. So let's be praying for them as they start this new church, and also that the people would try to reach their own folks there in China.
Thank you very much. If you'll keep the prayer sheet out here, we typically break up into our deacon-led groups on the first Wednesday night. Due to the construction, one of our major rooms is shut down tonight because of the wet paint. So we're going to stay in here tonight, and our deacon groups will meet next month. I appreciate the deacons and their faithfulness in that. Let me give you some names to write down and some things to write down in the prayer request section there on the opening fly leaf. If you'll just open that, you'll notice a prayer request section where you can write some names down. These are not on your list, and we just want to remember some of these and all of that. One of them is Miss Linda Hensley. We're continuing to pray for her with cancer. Brother Joe Taylor, obviously, with cancer. Miss Pam Pruitt, with cancer. We're continuing to pray for her. Miss Lisa Lawrence. This is Lawrence's daughter-in-law. She had surgery yesterday and recovering. I understand she's doing well. And the cancer ministry will be going to Wellmont tomorrow. That's Holston Valley, to the cancer wing there, and be visiting and all of that. So be praying for them as they go. What I'd like to do is tonight, I'd like for the organ side, that's my left over here all the way on the far right, I'd like for you folks to pray for that part of the prayer sheet. That's the praying for revival. That is praying for those specific requests I just mentioned to you, and then praying for laborers there for what the New Testament church prayed for. That's what we're praying for there, okay? I like this center section here to pray for the center section of the prayer sheet. That would be the Sunday school department, the church ministry, the bus route, the staff member of the week, and the deacon of the week. I'd like the organ side over here to my right to pray for the right side of the inner panel there with the missionaries, praying for laborers to Anguilla, and then praying for our Bible clubs, especially the one that's highlighted there, but praying for all four of those. Like those in the balcony to pray for the next to last backflip there. We're praying for those in the hospital. Mac Bacon, he's in the John City Medical Center. We're praying for Donna Josie. She's in the VA hospital. Praying for her at this time. Praying for the shut-in of the week, Miss Deanna Haynes, the nursing home of the week, Crown Cypress. Evelyn Clara Jones is there. Praying for the active military personnel, John Rourke, and our government officials. And then we'll conclude our time tonight with all praying together for the ladies' meeting. I'd like you to find a prayer partner. Now, this does not mean you have to do that, okay? If you're alone and you prefer that, that's no problem. But I would like to encourage you to kind of find somebody there. If you're here with your mate, whatever the case may be, if you're here alone and comfortable approaching somebody else, then do that by all means. I'll give you just a moment here to do that, and that will be good. Okay?